An unused theater is a very sad place. And I felt that sadness and I thought, what can we do? And why aren't we doing anything? Because we own the place. And with my experience with other film festivals, I mean, that's the biggest challenge, is just having a venue. And I mean, the programming, not to sound cocky, but the programming is kind of easy. There's so many films out there. There's so many films that just want a screen. Yeah, so I thought, you know, let's bring this place back. So I approached the board with this idea after the festival and said, you know, here's a plan. We can have a small sort of renovation of the place, clean it up a bit. It's amazing what a paint job will do. And begin programming regularly throughout the year. Films, you know, that might never come to Missoula. The kinds of movies that generally art house films that could help support a revenue stream for the organization, as well as, you know, bring an audience in year round that would pay attention to our festival when it comes back around in the spring. Build a volunteer base to help support that. Build other bases within the community, other relationships within the community to help support our festival. And the board said, sure, let's do it. We raised some money through a rummage sale. There was some furniture that we let go of. There was some old video equipment. We also threw a bunch of old broadcast equipment up on eBay, you know, the stuff that we weren't using, formats that have come and gone, but apparently people still want to buy.
Maybe not so gone.
But gone for us, and we certainly wouldn't be seeing these formats to screen with. And made a few upgrades in terms of our technology, got some professional Blu-ray players. The money that we spent really went into the lobby itself and just cleaned that up. Did a refurbishment of the counters with a local artist and designer named Isaac Humble. Just did a really wonderful work with reclaimed materials all from right around here. A painter named Steve Krutek, who teaches here at the university, you know, did a nice stencil, wrapped the whole theater in this cool deco design. Mm-hmm. And then a little bit of that money to help support the marketing itself. And now we're going.
Take some confidence. I mean, if it didn't work when it was reborn after the fire in 94 as a second run, and then there was another attempt to bring films in. And I guess the Crystal Theater filled this from Missoula old timers who will remember that, the art house, if you will, films. They did that for a while. It didn't work. What gives you and your colleagues the confidence that it'll work this time?
Well, it's a different world, for one thing. The landscape of independent cinema is much different than it was in the 1990s. I mean, the 90s were really the heyday for the Crystal, and I remember it fondly.
Sure.
But what's really changed is, like I said, this landscape of independent film. There's a lot more film available. There's a lot more smaller distributors who don't have the overhead of 35mm prints and advertising costs that were much steeper. You know, they can make a film available on Blu-ray and have a website to get the promotion out there. And they're willing to deal with small theaters. There's an organization called Art House Convergence, which is kind of a collective of art house theaters, independent theaters around the country. They meet every year just before Sundance in Park City, in fact, and do their Art House Convergence. And the keynote that was presented this last year addressed this idea of a brave new art house, a way for independent cinemas like, you know, local purveyors of like restaurateurs or coffee shops, or the, you know, this real local sense that is alive throughout the United States and in towns like Missoula, this brave new sense of how things can be done. And the Crystal was certainly had a local vibe and was a local organization, but perhaps it wasn't as universally supported, this idea of local that I think has infected a lot of America.
Meaning it was before its time? Is that what you mean?
I kind of think it was a little bit before its time. I mean, but also it was from a tradition of art houses that were around the country in college towns, you know, like Madison, Wisconsin, like Columbia, Missouri. But I think the perfect storm, so to speak, hadn't happened with the availability of films and distributors that made it possible.
I see.
But there's an aspect, that's a certain nuanced aspect, I suppose, of local that has changed. And I think Missoula is a town that's always valued Missoula and always supported Missoula. And I think that's what we hope to see with the Roxy. And that's, in fact, already in opening weekend, that's the vibe that we've gotten. So that's great.
Talk about the changing landscape within the art house community. What about from the audience side of thing? And I always raise this when you're here because it's fun to talk about, and that is this new availability of films. If I want to watch something, I turn on my Apple TV and I go to Netflix or I go to whatever, and other people with their Rokus, or they go to Redbox at the grocery store. Is the market there, or has that changed so dramatically in this digital age?
I think the market is there, and you know, there's an experience that you can't get from Redbox or your Apple TV, which is the social contract of a commitment to sit in the dark together with strangers, or in this case, people you might know. You know, I mean, it's Missoula, right? That experience is never going to go away, and it's certainly the challenge that any exhibitor, whether you're a major chain like Carmike, for example, or small independent cinema like what we're trying to do with the Roxy, that's the challenge of today. And I was just talking to a friend of mine, explaining what we're doing. He's from Italy. I think I was pretty American-centric or something in my description of what's happening and how I felt like, well, the challenge is to get people to theaters. And he said, hey, man, that's everywhere. That's in Italy, too. So it's just a reality. We have convenience. We have access. However, knowing about those films, knowing, you know, if you read IndieWire or you read blogs through IMDb or wherever, there's a much greater awareness of films. And certainly there are people like myself, like you, like many of our listeners who want to go to a movie theater and experience, you know, on a large screen, again, that social contract of being in a darkened theater with people in your community to watch and to experience a film. The other aspect is, even though there's so much of it out there, so many films available on VOD or wherever you're finding them, the Roxy is a curated program. And here's a film put right in front of you. You know, mainly these films, with the exception of a few that are simultaneously VOD, or usually not on Blu-ray, but sometimes these distributors are doing VOD and theatrical.
VOD meaning video on demand.
Video on demand, yeah, sorry. With a few exceptions, none of this stuff is actually available right now. You could be stubborn and say, I'll just wait, which I don't like to hear. The other exceptions, of course, are the classic films that we're screening, like we're doing Kurosawa's Seven Samurai. Ooh. Okay, readily available. I believe it's on Hulu, okay? I believe you can go find
on the
Seven
Criterion.
Samurai, the Criterion feed, the Criterion channel on Hulu. You can find it, okay? It's not hidden anywhere. However, once again, large screen, communal experience. There's this great YouTube clip out there of David Lynch talking about iPhones and watching movies on iPhones. I won't repeat it because it's a bit obscene, a little lewd. But honestly, if you're going to watch that movie on your iPhone or your iPad, you know, get a life. And the same is true. I mean, not everything we're doing is so cinematic that it must be seen on a big screen. But, you know, a film like From Up on Poppy Hill, the new Miyazaki film, it's extraordinary. Absolutely beautiful anime. And yes, in September, it will be available on video. And if you'd like to wait 2 weeks, you can go track it down. We certainly hope you'd come and support the Roxy Theater in screening it in our town. But, you know, if that's the way you're going to be, I don't know what we can say about that.
If I want to see The Seven Samurai, what sort of video quality could I expect at the Roxy? Will I get that Criterion, the beautiful redone, remastered edition, or will it be the scratchy, you know?
Oh, I don't know. What should we do, huh? At this point, yeah, absolutely. So we have wonderful high-def video projection. This will screen off of Blu-ray. It's, in fact, the Criterion edition, since that's who, you know, we're dealing with as a distributor. You know, in terms of the classic films, we're hoping to outfit the Roxy with 35mm projection, wow, which sounds like we're kind of going back, yeah, whereas other theaters around the country are desperately seeking out, you know, DCP or digital cinema package. But the trick is, you know, kind of like how vinyl came back and people want to hear their music on a record, you know, we'd love to present some of these classic films on 35. Not just for the novelty of it, because, of course, it's gorgeous. A clean 35mm print, you just can't beat it. And certainly for distribution of modern films, it makes less sense. This technology is fine. Having DCP or having Blu-ray to exhibit a film from looks great. But if you see something like a classic Hollywood film, I mean, take Chinatown, for example. I'd much rather watch Chinatown on 35 than any digital format.
We've talked a lot about film. What about live performance?
Well, we've got this third screen. It's a 50-seat theater. You know, bring in some other seats. Our capacity is probably somewhere around 75. And we're going to have regular live events. We start off in August with a live concert from the local band Butter. It's a small venue, but it's really nice and intimate. And, you know, we can't imagine getting Bob Dylan to play there ever, but wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah, that'd be something else. concessions, beer, wine?
You know, we don't have our beverage license just yet, and we're really hoping to get that by the fall because, I mean, we're in an era now where people expect beer with their movie. It's Missoula,
right.
And we would like to cater to that. We are supporting local purveyors as much as we can, and some of our concessions, for example, coffee from Black Coffee Roasting Company and Great Harvest Bakery is producing a special brownie that you can only get at the Roxy Theater called the Kubrick. Our popcorn is 100% organic. The corn, the oil, the butter, completely organic, and almost all of it's locally sourced butter from, you know, Lifeline and Victor Montana. So, and I think that's a huge part of the culture that we're trying to support, this idea that we're locally grown and what we provide should be as well. We also have Milk Duds and Raisinettes, you know, because, come on.
It's a movie.
It's a movie,
It's
right?
a movie house.
For August, we're running two films Thursday through Sunday. It'll change up a little bit in September, and Thursdays are going to become kind of specialty nights. We'll have a community night. We'll get a cult film night going in there. We've already talked about some special series that we'll run, a Native American program that we're hoping to get going by October. But currently, it's Thursday night through Sunday.
If you want to find out more information, theroxytheater.org, right?
Correct, yeah. Or just come on down. I'll tell you anything you want to know.
Super. Hey, Mike, thanks a lot.
Thank you.